This is an explicit podcast meant for those over the age of 18. Any views expressed in this podcast are based solely on our own experiences. This podcast does not constitute as medical or other professional advice. Welcome to Front Porch Swingers, where we talk about sex on our terms.
We talk swinging, hot wifing, BDSM, and so much more in the hopes that we will inspire you to enjoy sex on your terms.
Enjoy the show, everybody. Hey everyone, welcome to Front Porch Swingers. I'm Brenna.
I'm Brian.
So the first thing we want to talk about today is our awesome partners, Cassidy.com.
Yep, Cassidy.com, where we meet all of our lifestyle friends.
Yes, it is the perfect place to check out who is swinging in your area, the events going on in the lifestyle in your area, plus our very favorite feature, which is the travel feature.
Yeah.
Where you can see who else will be going to the same cities that you are in. And when, which is super fun.
Yeah.
So you can go to our website, frontporchswingers.com, and click on either of the Cassidy banners to receive 30 free days of all of the services for free. Check it out. Make sure it's right for you. And we hope you love it.
Well, we'll be in Denver soon.
We will. And we're going to be giving all of the details on our Cassidy community page, which is at Front Porch Swingers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am super fucking psyched to go to Denver. First of all, it's a badass city.
Well, we've already gotten some correspondence from some folks that we've reached out to. We're going to send some private invitations for a smaller gathering we're going to have that Friday.
Yeah, so we'll be there April 11th through the 14th.
Right.
April 12th is the night that we're going to be meeting with some people. We've had some just badass Colorado folks that have really supported the podcast since the very beginning.
Right.
And we want to meet those people, buy you a drink, say thank you for everything that you've done for the podcast and for us. So we'll be sending out some kind of more private invitations for that. And then Saturday, we are going to do just a big old mix and mingle event at a hotel. And then we're going to be going to a lifestyle event in the area. So we will provide all of the details on our Cassidy community page. But if you're not on Cassidy and you still want to meet up with us while we're there, please shoot us an email at mail, M-A-I-L, at frontporchswingers.com. And we'd be happy to pass on all of the details to you.
For sure. Obviously, we have our community is set in Denver. It's the largest big city to where we live. So we have a huge following there, which is, I mean, it's great. And I'm looking forward to being there. I miss Denver. I haven't been there since, it's almost, like I said, November of 2017.
Yeah. So super psyched for that. Stay tuned for more details.
Yeah, and I should probably apologize. I sound like shit because I'm sick. I'm just now getting over it, I think, after five-ish days.
It's been rough. It's really weird to see someone who's usually so, like, strong and, you know, alpha personality type being, you know, just so sick.
Yeah, well, I don't get sick normally. It's like been 3 years since I had a cold.
Makes me sad.
When I get it, it's really harsh. So,
yeah.
But I think I'm coming out of it now.
You have not fucked me nearly enough in the last 4 days.
No, not enough at all. But I have now showered and shaved and gotten dressed today for the first time in like 3 days. So I feel pretty good about that. So I think we're looking up. Things are looking up.
We're on the upswing.
You might get laid tonight.
Good. I need it. I'm so hot and bothered. It's like all I can think about the last few days.
I don't know why you're staring at me sitting on the couch. I look like a total fucking. I look homeless under the blankets and the hoodie and the.
Yeah, I still want to bang you.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, I'm unshaven. I didn't realize how bad I looked until I went to shave this morning in the mirror.
You did not look bad. You just looked sick, which you were.
Totally sick. Yeah.
Yeah. We have also not broken out very many of our sex toys lately.
No, we'll fix that tonight.
Yeah. And if you are looking to break out some new sex toys, we have the perfect place for you to find them, which is at our shop, frontporchswingers.com storefront. We have about 205 items on there that we have personally chosen that we think you will absolutely love. We tried to pick out really quality items so that you can take all of the guesswork out of doing your toy shopping.
Yeah.
And if you go to shopfrontporchswingers.com and you use our promo code, which is FPSPOD, that is FPSPOD at checkout, you will get 15% off of your order.
Yeah, it's 200-ish products that we chose because we like them, we use them, and they're quality. We don't have a bunch of fluff on there, just really good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've had a ton of people reach out and be like, oh, you know, what do you guys do for floggers or what, you know, what clamps are you using?
Right.
You can find all that information out on our storefront.
Yep, what's on there is what we actually use.
For sure. Yeah. Quickly, we're going to touch base on episode 23, which was our last episode.
Yeah.
It was about our very first unicorn experience, our first semi-almost threesome with a single woman.
Yeah, almost. Yeah.
So we're not going to relive all the details there. I definitely recommend that you check out that episode if you haven't yet, because apparently... we piss some people off.
Well, no, it's just a, I guess it's just a high, you know, a topic of high interest. It's gotten a tremendous amount of downloads by, I mean, crazy how many downloads it's gotten already. But there's some, I guess there's some interest in that topic.
Well, I think what we learned by putting that episode up and the feedback that we received is that it's a pretty divisive issue. Yeah. There are a lot of couples that reach out to us that said, yeah, we've had similar experiences, or we've ignored some red flags with single females because we were excited to delve into playing with single women.
Right.
Especially because they're not as common as single men as those of us in the lifestyle know. So I think that there were a lot of people that were like, yeah, we've run into that same thing, and we really appreciated you guys talking about it, which is great. We also had a lot of people reach out to us that were a little bit upset. And most of the feedback that was negative towards the episode was about us not giving this unicorn a second chance.
Right.
Which I don't entirely understand, because to me, we shouldn't have to give someone a second chance if the situation that we were put in with them made us feel uncomfortable
right.
or disrespected. And in some ways, I'm not saying like it was a horrible experience. She was a nice girl. It wasn't like the worst thing in the world, but there was definitely some disrespect in what happened towards us. And that's okay, and that happens, but I don't feel like we should have to give someone a second chance just because she's a single woman.
Well, I think the biggest takeaway from that is, you know, replace her with a single guy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden everybody's pissed at the single guy and shitting on the single guy.
Yep.
And then there's virtually no way anyone's going to give the single guy a second chance. So just
exactly. Take a single guy and put him in that exact situation. Go back and listen to that episode again if you were pissed off about it.
Yeah.
And put a single guy in that situation.
Right.
Would you have emailed us angry if it had been a single guy? Nope. I'm going to say absolutely not.
Not a fucking chance. Every time. And listen, anyone who listens to our show knows how I feel about single guys in this lifestyle. How I feel they should behave, and how I think they can succeed. So there's no secret about that. I have never gotten an email. We have never gotten an email after a single guy episode where I've said, stop behaving badly. No one's ever said, oh, I don't know why you're shitting on the single guy. No one's ever said that. No one has ever come back to us and said, oh, you're too hard on the single guys.
Right.
That has never actually happened.
Nope.
But all of a sudden, we have, you know, not a great scenario with a single woman, although we thought it was, you know, going to be. It wasn't perfect, but you know, people are upset because they think we didn't give her enough of a chance.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we should give her a second chance kind of thing. No one's ever said you should, you know, give that single guy a second chance.
Yeah.
You know, no one ever called it. No one ever emailed us after the Jay episode and said, Brenna, you should totally give Jay a second chance.
You guys were too hard on him.
No one has said that.
Nobody said that. And to me, what that speaks to is a very different standard for single men versus single women in the lifestyle.
Right.
And I would say even a completely different standard than that for couples in the lifestyle.
For sure.
And to me, like, you should just respect people equally across the board. It really shouldn't matter, you know, what category they fall into or how you're quote unquote labeling them in the lifestyle. Like, you should just treat everyone with respect. And on the flip side of that, you should treat everyone with the same amount of, you know, careful consideration when you're trying to decide whether you're playing with them or not, whether when you're going through that vetting process with them.
Well, I think that's the takeaway for us was, you know, we are obviously we're pro single guy, we're pro single women, but I am not prepared to change the vetting process or the criteria with which we use to determine who we play. And so that criteria for women will be the same as it will be for men.
Yeah.
We will just be.
And we hope that they critique us in the same way. And they really dig in and decide if we are the right couple for them in the same way.
That's exactly right. And that's largely why we choose as a couple. Not that it's, you know, not for everybody. You know, people, you know, we talk about it all the time. They meet people and play with people in various ways. We like to meet people first and potentially play with them later. We like to get to know people a little bit, and that's just something we're going to do from now on, obviously, as it pertains to single women, just like we would single guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I will say we really appreciated the feedback no matter what it was. We are not the type of people that are going to be like, oh, you didn't agree with us, go fuck yourself. I actually really enjoyed corresponding with the people who didn't agree with some of the things that we said in the last episode. It definitely got my mind thinking in a different way, and that's something that I love, and I hope that we can continue to do with people. If you have opinions about the show or about anything that we say in it, like, let us know so that we can have a dialogue, because it does nothing but make the lifestyle stronger and better.
Yeah, there's a, you know, I appreciate the different perspectives. You know, people see things differently, and they see things differently because of their own experiences, obviously.
Yeah.
Their personal beliefs. But, you know, for us, I think we did the best we could in that situation, certainly. And I think we made the right decision to not pursue that.
Yeah. Made the right decision for us. And that's another thing. This podcast is just us providing our experiences and our opinions on things. Doesn't mean we're always going to be right. I'm not sure that there's ever a right or wrong, especially when it comes to something as complex as swinging.
No. What's right for us is not right for someone else. And you know, it just is the way it is.
But we still greatly appreciate the feedback. It was actually really fun to constantly be getting messages about the episode. So keep those coming.
For sure. We've said it many times. You know, shoot us your emails and your questions and your comments, and, you know, tell us that you enjoy it. Tell us that you think we're full of shit. We like all of that. You know, but this is the first time that we've gotten this kind of, this much volume of you know, the volume of emails and messages that we've gotten about any one particular subject. It's been quite interesting.
It was very interesting to see. I would not have expected it.
But. No, not at all. I frankly, you know, us not having a lot of experience with single females, we predominantly play with single men, I would have thought that we would have been met with a lot of the same issues that we dealt with from people. I think I was expecting people to say, oh, yeah, we've, you know, a lot of people saying we had the same kind of situation. And there were, but just, it was probably 50-50.
Yep.
People who were, you know, who agreed and people who disagreed.
Yeah.
I think it was probably pretty even down the line.
Yeah, which is cool too, you know?
It's the first time it's happened.
Like I said, it opens a dialogue.
Yeah, it's the first time it's happened. It was really interesting, I thought.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, today we're not talking about a single woman.
No, we are not. We are not. But, you know, but I think it lends itself to what we, you and I talked about earlier. There's a, for a place or a lifestyle where there shouldn't be a lot of judgment, there's a lot of judgment.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're a full swap couple and you don't like to play with soft swap couples, or you're a soft swap couple and you don't agree with the full swap, or you're into the hot wife scenario, or you don't play with single guys, you only play with single women, or you're a couple who only swaps with other couples. There are a lot of different components to the lifestyle, and it seems like it's like people think they have to choose a side.
Yeah, or label, you know, other people.
Right. And I just don't see that being a necessity in this lifestyle. I think they're everything that we just talked about, they're all forms of ethical, consensual non-monogamy. And I think that's just kind of where it needs to be.
Yeah.
You know, instead of trying to put everybody on a shelf,
mm-hmm.
you know, and figure out where everybody belongs in the lifestyle. You just belong where you want to be.
Yeah. Just enjoy your life. Life's short.
Yeah.
Do what makes you feel good.
Yeah. If it's single guys, single women, couples only, whatever, full swap, soft swap, I think you just enjoy whatever it is you enjoy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's get to some sexy shit, because, okay. You know, we've talked about last episode a lot, and although I thought it was necessary, I want to talk about some sex, because I'm horned up today.
You are, and that's because we haven't had sex in like 2-3 days, I think.
Yeah, I need it.
Because I've been super sick.
Maybe this will be our foreplay.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yeah, I'm excited to hear, because, you know, the situation we're going to talk about, which is very interesting for a number of reasons, not the least of which happened now a while ago. You had a play date, obviously, after we met this person, and this has been a while.
Yeah.
So this isn't like it just happened recently. And we haven't really talked about it in a while because we've had other experiences since. But going back and thinking back on it, it was a really hot experience when you and I finally got back together, the reconnecting afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is an interesting episode because I think it aligns with our episode 23 in that sometimes there are things that happen in an interaction. And once again, this one was super hot and we'll talk about all 100%. The hot shit. But we'll also talk about how it has me kind of questioning my interactions with this guy moving forward. So we're gonna outline all of that.
Well, let's preface by saying, and again, spoiler alert, you've been with this gentleman twice now. So you've had a second experience with him. And what you're going to chronicle in terms of, you know, level of comfortability or whether or not this is going to be a regular playmate, those, you know, those particular components really lend itself to what happened on the second date that you had. You got a bit of it on the first.
Yes.
But really, a lot of it comes from what you're going to talk about later, comes a lot from the second date.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So two-parter. So part one,
yeah.
I tracked this guy down.
Yeah, you did.
And I will tell you why I was excited to play with him. He looks a lot like you.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. Yeah.
He is shaved head. Yep. He's your height.
Yep.
He's very muscular.
Yep.
He comes from a bodybuilding background.
Yep.
I would say he's a little bit more lean now, but still very muscular and very into fitness.
Yeah.
So, I mean, physically, I've said this to you a couple times now, but if I just saw you two from the back in a quick glance, I wouldn't know who was who.
Right. It'd be tough. Yeah, for sure.
Which is really interesting. Yeah. It's funny how now that I'm, you know, so sexually attracted to you and I lust after you, being with someone who looks so much like you is so fun and exciting for me.
Right.
I don't know if other people experience that or not. I guess you do to some degree because you're into women whose body types are a lot like mine.
For sure. I think there's a... I guess maybe it's a level of familiarity, or it's just, you know, it's what we like, right? We all like what we like. And I just think it works out. For me, it works out that I like your physical type.
Yeah.
You know, so it just works out that
maybe way. In this scenario, I hadn't even thought of this before, but maybe in this scenario too, it's the fact that I love you so much. And then being away from you, it's almost like just that little bit of almost like feeling like you're there to some degree.
Yeah, maybe. It could be.
Is that weird? I don't know if that's weird or not, but...
I don't know. I don't think so.
Could be part of that, too.
Yeah.
But I was very excited to meet him. Now, we went and had a drink with him at a place that we never go to.
No. It's interesting. It's a very popular place in our town. I do business with them, but we've never been there socially. We had not ever had dined or had a drink there. And so when he mentioned it, I thought, oh, that's interesting. We've never really been.
Yeah.
And so we go, and there's been a couple that you have corresponded with for like the past 6 months now.
Yeah.
And we never got a chance to meet them. They have busy schedules too.
They're super busy. They have kids. They have a ton going on. So we have never, we had corresponded like maybe once a month for like 6 months, but never had met them.
Right. And so as it turns out, they were there that night.
Yeah.
We didn't know that till we got home later that evening. They sent you a message.
Yeah.
And said, hey, were you guys at such and such? We saw you there.
It totally recognized us.
Yeah. So of course we spent like the next hour trying to figure out where they were and if we actually saw them. And as it turns out, they were sitting at the bar. It's a big, big bar. It's probably got 40 stools.
Yeah.
Kind of half horseshoe shaped. They were sitting kind of at the tip of it. We were at the far end of it. So they were probably 20 people away from us.
Yeah.
Based on where they said they were sitting.
Yeah. Well, once again, that reinforces that our Cassidy pictures are good because they totally recognized us from those. I mean, 100%. I hadn't sent them any additional photos. I don't think it was all just what was on our Cassidy profile, and they recognized us from it. So that was kind of a fun little aside. We sat and talked with, we decided we're going to call him Gerard.
Yeah, you came up with Gerard. It's not even close to his real name, which is fine.
I don't know why. But yeah, Gerard and us, we sat at the end of the bar and spoke with him for quite a while.
Yeah, we had a good conversation with him.
Yeah, you guys really seemed to click. It was actually kind of funny because the first half of the time that we were with him, it was a lot of you guys talking about, you know, your fitness stuff and things that you had in common. And I was just kind of not feeling left out, but not really.
Well, you were sitting in between us, obviously. So that part of the conversation, we were just kind of, I think we're just getting a feel for each other. I just wanted to get a sense of who he was.
Yeah, but you guys really seemed to have a lot in common, which was kind of cool. It did kind of turn a little bit sexy towards the end of our correspondence with him there at the bar.
Yeah.
Nothing overt, but I mean, he, you know, I think you went up and went to the restroom or something at one point, and, you know, he was just talking to me about the fact that he found me physically attractive and, you know, that he really was vibing with my personality. And I was with him too. He's very laid back. He's a very just kind of, you know, go with the flow kind of guy. Yeah. He doesn't have any sort of a hectic energy to him, which is cool.
No, very, very reserved. And very, very easy to talk to.
I wouldn't say necessarily reserved. He's very outgoing.
Yeah, but he wasn't overly excitable. He was just kind of having sitting and having a normal conversation.
Just a normal, cool dude. Yeah. And so that was kind of fun. We left and I provided him with your number so that you guys could kind of communicate if need be as well. And it was probably about a week and a half later, 2 weeks later, that we finally decided to play.
Yeah.
I think the first time I actually had to cancel because I was sick that time.
Yeah, you had a pretty nasty cold, and he and I were corresponding throughout that whole time. Just, you know, every once in a while here, a day or two from, you know, the whole time was just kind of basic, you know.
Friendly conversation,
Just the norm, you know, what's going on, you're in town this week or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Just typical bullshit, just staying in touch.
Yeah, so, but we finally decided to play, and I had this fun little game I decided to do ahead of time? Well, first of all, you have to talk about what you did to me to get me all worked up before we...
Yeah, so when you, after, obviously you were sick, and then I think maybe it was another week or so later, 10 days later, you guys made a date. And we should also say that this is the first time you played with someone for the first time completely without me.
Yeah.
So you went to his place.
True, of course, hall pass situation, 100%.
Yeah, we know a lot of the same people. Not just in the lifestyle, but we know a lot of the same people in town.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. We're not in the same industry necessarily, but we do know a lot of the same people. So there was a level of comfort and trust there. So, you know, some security.
Yeah, he's not just some dude passing through.
No,
he lives here. He's entrenched in the community. Yeah, there was definitely that safety, extra feeling of safety with him with that.
Right. So we felt good about it. We knew where he lived. I had his address and all that stuff. So you got dressed, ready to go. You were starting to get ready for your date. And so just before you got dressed, I decided I was going to tease you. So I went down on you and made you come a couple of times.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, you wanted me to fuck you, but I wouldn't.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I think we've talked about this in a previous episode, but oral sex is great and I love it and I can definitely come from it, but it does not satiate all of my sexual desires.
No, once you've been orally stimulated, it's the penetration that you need.
Like, I need the cock inside of me.
Right. So I didn't
do
that.
You knew that. Yeah. And you totally got me worked up into a total frenzy.
Yep. I was like, okay, hurry up. You're going to be late. So you had to get dressed.
You're welcome. Yeah. No, get out of here. So I also decided that I wanted to play a little game with this guy, with Gerard.
Right.
So I put on super hot lingerie, like really hot lace lingerie. And then I put on super conservative clothing over it. I think it was just like my most regular pair of jeans and then like a shirt that showed zero cleavage whatsoever, like long sleeve, a jacket. Pretty sure I had my glasses on.
Our typical cold weather gear for where we live.
Yeah, but I don't usually even dress like that just going out. And I had this, I wanted to tease him in that way. I wanted to show up and for him to be like, oh, okay, cool. Like, she, you know, looks normal. It doesn't really look great.
Pretty vanilla looking.
But whatever, you know? And then I wanted him to take off my clothes and find the lingerie underneath. Right. So I was really excited about that. I had really had to pat myself on the back for that
school
little
marm
treat.
Outside. Yeah. The dominatrix underneath.
Yeah. So I went to his house dressed like that. And we sat and talked for quite a while beforehand. I definitely think he's similar to us and specifically to me, kind of with him, he and my interaction, if he wanted to get to know me, like, which I really appreciated.
Right.
He really tried to understand us. He asked quite a bit about you and I and our relationship and trying to understand that dynamic. He said, you know, it would be so cool to find what you guys have. Oh, how many times have we heard that before?
Yeah.
But the other thing that he said that was really interesting to me is we got on the topic of porn.
Right.
And I was talking about how, in my opinion, you watch the porn that you are, that it's almost like your porn and your fantasies line up for most people, right? Like you seek out the porn that turns you on the most.
Right.
And he was talking about how he loves to watch bondage porn. It's almost exclusively what he watches.
Right.
Like threesome and bondage porn is like all he watches. And so I asked him if he had experienced bondage for himself. And he said, no.
Right.
He's like, I just haven't really gotten there yet. I don't know how to go about finding that for myself with a partner. You know, I don't know how to negotiate that with a partner. And I just, it really reminded me of the Derek situation.
Yeah.
Right. So if you guys haven't listened yet, I had to play partner Derek, who I played with 3 times. Great guy.
Yep.
Super into BDSM, very much a switch.
Yeah.
And yet he was going after these vanilla relationships over and over and over again. And what would happen? He'd be in them for 2 or 3 months. He would feel stifled. He would resent his partner. And then the relationship would end.
Yep.
And he just continued in this constant pattern. Well, this guy is really a very similar person in that way.
Yeah.
And we very quickly had a conversation. I never want to like school anyone or educate anyone right before we have sex. It's not super sexy, but you know, just kind of the advice that I threw out to him quickly there was like, just fucking do what feels good and go after the things that you want to go after.
Right.
Like your life is short and spending 80 years doing something that doesn't fulfill you sexually it's gotta be fucking horrible.
Well, especially when you know what you want. It's not like he's trying to figure it out. Now, to some degree, I guess we're all trying to figure it out. But he knows what he doesn't want, but he keeps going after that.
Yeah.
That's what he seeks.
Yep.
You know, which is very strange. And we'll talk more about that because you found out more about that on your second date with him.
Yeah, but my point is, you know, I think that this is somebody who is a sexual freak waiting to kind of burst out.
Right.
He's in his mid-40s, but he still just hasn't, he's not quite there with himself yet.
Right.
So anyway, I think that that's something maybe important to note, not necessarily because it relates to this interaction, but just because we receive emails all the time from guys in this exact same situation. I'll tell you guys exactly what I told him, which is life is too short. Get what you want.
Yeah, for sure. There's a, you know, he has an opportunity, much like Derek did, to find what he's looking for.
Yeah.
You've just got to take steps to do that.
Yeah. Move in the right direction.
I mean, get in that online. Way, they're almost the same person, essentially.
They are. It was actually kind of creepy.
Yeah.
It was like they were saying the exact same things. Oh, yeah. Just keep ending up with the same type of girl over and over and over again. Oh, and you're shocked as to why that's not working out.
Yeah. It's the same thing. It's the same story.
So anyway, we finally started, after the porn conversation, we finally started kind of, you know, touching each other a little bit, and we were making out for a long time. And that was nice. I sometimes like when a guy will just kiss me and enjoy me in that way for a while, rather than like immediately going to taking my pants off.
Right.
You know, I'm obviously sexual and I'm there to have sex, but that idea that like you want to fully enjoy me turns me on.
Well, it's the buildup.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly what it is. He was getting me excited, which I was already excited because he totally licked my pussy.
Little did he know how excited you are.
But that was really nice. We made out for a long time. And even when he started kind of undressing me, well, I shouldn't say that. He like started unbuttoning things, but couldn't necessarily see the lingerie underneath yet.
Right.
And I do think that once he saw the lingerie, it was like, oh, fuck. Like, okay, good. Right. She's here for sex.
Right. Because the way you showed up, it was like you were there for, you know, like a book club.
Yeah. Played chess together or something.
For sure.
So once he saw the lingerie, he's like, all right, she's a slut.
She came to the party.
She totally have sex with me.
Right.
So then he got me undressed pretty quickly, which was nice.
Yeah.
And then I decided I was going to tease him a little bit more. I really wanted to tease this guy. I don't know what it is about his personality, but I wanted to work him up into a frenzy.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was because you had worked me into a frenzy. I don't know. But I just had this mindset of like, I'm going to make him want me and I'm not going to give it to him right away.
Right.
So I, like, for example, I took off his shirt and I was kissing his neck. And then I really slowly moved down to like kissing his nipples. And then I was like licking on his stomach a little bit, which was nice. He's great. Right. Amazing physique. You know, and then I like slowly unbuttoned his pants and I kind of pulled them down, but not all the way. So it was like you could kind of see the top of his cock, but I didn't just yank his pants down.
Sure.
And I was kind of kissing and licking around that pelvic area. And he was really, I mean, it was, I could tell I was getting him excited.
Sure. You're just, it was a tease, but you know, kind of giving him some idea of what there was to come, but you just didn't give it all to him.
Yeah. Well, I don't usually do that because I'm slutty and horny. And so usually it's like, take off your pants and fuck me.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to take my time with this guy. So that was fun. It was just a different flavor than what I'm used, certainly with you.
Yeah, of course.
Usually I come out of the bathroom from a shower in the evening and you're like sitting there stroking your cock and like, get over here and suck it.
Right. Usually it's pretty instantaneous.
So that was not the situation. It was very slow and methodical. And then I took him into the bedroom and I'm still just kissing all over him. And it was really funny because he finally verbalized like, so do you maybe want to suck my cock or like I could go down on you?
Yeah,
or,
he just wanted to like, get his pants off.
How do you want to go about this whole thing? Because he, you know, didn't want to just sit there and make out for 2 hours.
Sure.
So I finally was like, you know, I'll totally suck your cock. So I took his pants off and he had a large cock.
Yeah, you told me.
Which can be nice. I never want to be cock shaming kind of either way, but it was big and I was maybe a little bit concerned just because I'm tight and small and...
Yeah.
But anyway, sucking it was nice. I've choked on it a couple times.
Which I'm sure he enjoyed.
Liked it. I deep throated it. Sucked his cock for quite a while.
Yeah.
And then finally he decided he was going to flip me over and go down on me and, loved that I provided him with instruction. He told me afterwards that that was a very different from what most women do with him.
Right.
Which I think is interesting. Why are women not more verbal about their oral sex needs?
I don't know. I would imagine guys necessarily aren't either. You know,
probably
if there's something that someone's doing that you're not thoroughly enjoying, I mean, why not make an adjustment? Why can't you have that communication?
Well, and what I told you about this whole oral situation, because I was very specific with him about suctioning on my clit and licking in a certain spot. And, you know, I don't feel like I was controlling, but I was definitely providing that instruction to him. And he was able to get me to where I wanted and needed to be based on that.
Right.
But I told you about a past partner that I had had that told me that he didn't want to have sex with me again after the first time we had sex because he thought that my instructions for how to get me off felt like I was nagging him.
Yeah, listen, I guess guys get a little bit butthurt about it, you know?
But why?
I don't know. I guess it's an ego thing, which is ridiculous. I mean, you know, a woman, whether it's a situation where it's a hot wife situation or you're a single guy dating a single girl, you know, I mean, I think you should, you know, be glad that you're actually in that moment anyway. You know, that this woman is allowing you to be intimate with her and vice versa. You know, well, you're intimate with each other. Just be happy to be there and listen to each other.
Yeah, I don't think it's just men. I think, no. I mean, like when you're in a sexual situation with someone, you should want it to be as mutually pleasurable as possible.
Yeah, mutually beneficial sex is the best. Yeah. So why would you not want to, you know, to verbalize what it is that you need? Open yourself up. If something's happening that's not working for you, there's no sense in that.
Yeah.
You know, you should be able to tell your partner and be receptive to what it is that he or she needs.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. So anyway, he was very receptive to it. And I loved that. He made me come several times licking me. And then because I was so worked up from A, making out with him for so long and teasing his cock and you teasing me and all of these things, I was like, I need to get fucked. He wanted to 69 with me or me to sit on his face or something. And I was like, no, dude, like, I need sex now. Right. So I asked him to put on a condom and I asked him to lay down and I started riding his cock and I really had to ease myself onto him.
Sure.
I'm tight. And if he would have started, I think from now on with a cock that size, I really need to be on top first because there have been times with you, with other people where it's like, if you're on top first and you're dictating the depth and pace, that initial stretching can be really painful. Painful.
Yeah. We've talked about that before. It's probably for the best, you know, even for us. So
yeah. Yeah. So I liked that I could be on top and I could really ease myself and stretch myself around him and then pick up the pace as I felt more comfortable. But it was hot and I was really riding him by the end of it, grabbing onto his shoulders and just using his cock. And I think we both really loved it.
I'm quite sure he was enjoying himself. No doubt about it.
And then he asked if he could fuck me from behind. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So he flipped me over and I loved, once again, I think he could kind of tell that I was maybe a little bit intimidated by his cock. So I started rocking myself back and forth on his cock rather than him just slamming into me.
Yeah.
And it was super hot. I was like playing with my clit at the same time that I was rocking back and forth on it.
Well, you can dictate the pace and the depth and all that stuff at that point.
And it was amazing. I came so hard. I think the second time I came with him taking me from behind, I was seeing stars. Yeah. It was great. And what I will say is when he really started fucking me and during the times when he was dictating kind of the play, it was rough. Yeah. There was a lot of roughness there. And I do think that based on that and what he talked to me about with the porn stuff, that he's probably more geared towards playing in that BDSM world, or at least would find a lot of enjoyment with it if he would open himself up to it. So obviously that's his business. I have not talked to him about it since then, but it's something I've definitely thought of with him.
He's just got to find his place in it. That's all.
Yeah, or maybe he doesn't, but I got the sense that was probably maybe more the way he leans.
Yeah, for sure.
Towards that rougher, more dominant, you know, possibly primal play like you and I play with. Right, so,
the impact stuff, yeah.
Or even just the, you know, the grabbing. There was a couple of times when I kind of had him, like, grab my ass when I was riding him.
Right.
I took his hands and put them on my ass and had him really grab. And when I did that, he got this excited look on his face, like, oh, that's fucking hot. Yeah, I
think maybe that's what he needed was some of that, you know, the direction or knowing that was not only was it okay, it was acceptable, but you wanted it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
So then I came a couple more times and then he still had not come yet. And he told me when he stopped fucking me that like he was trying really hard not to come. But I mean, by this point, we've been having sex for like an hour and a half.
Right.
So I was like, well, I want to make you come.
Right.
Like, I'd like for that to happen. And he was like, okay.
Right.
So I started sucking him and I maybe sucked his cock for another 10 seconds and then he came.
Yeah, of course. I mean, by that point,
Yeah, he was done. And so I could really tell that he was trying to hold on for my pleasure, which I appreciated. I thought that was kind of sweet. And it's, you know, it's good to have a play partner who cares about my pleasure in that way.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was cool. But he really needed some time to kind of just lay and collect himself after that.
Yeah.
He was out of breath, and I got up to almost like I was going to start getting ready to leave, and he pulled me back down and asked if I would just stay with him for a little bit. Yeah. And this kind of leads into something I'll talk about with the second interaction too, right. But now something that probably needs to be addressed with him if I'm going to continue to play with him,
yeah,
is I'm starting to be concerned that he may need something from me that I'm not necessarily able to provide for him.
Yeah, there's an emotional, I think, connection that he might require in a partner.
Yeah. So what I'm referring to is as we're laying there, you know, he's holding me and starts kind of like rubbing my hair and like rubbing on my neck. And
yeah.
I kind of turned away at one point almost because I started realizing that I was feeling uncomfortable,
sure, in,
with that intimacy, because you and I have talked about this many times before, but there's a huge difference between sex and intimacy.
Oh, very different.
Now, our intimacy typically aligns with sex, or it can.
Right.
But when I go and have a hot wife experience with a single guy, there's very little intimacy in that to me. It's about, right, sex. It's about the pleasure. Right. It's not about that emotional connection.
It's a pure visceral action, and intimacy and sex are not necessarily synonymous. They don't have to be.
Right. But I receive my intimacy in the form of coming home to you and sharing that experience with you and,
right,
talking afterwards. And of course, you're always holding me and kissing me and touching me afterwards,
right,
and, you know, providing me that reassurance that everything's okay with what I've just gone and done and all of, right, those different things. That is our intimacy. And because I know that I'm going to get that with you, and because I know that I need that with you as my partner, I don't necessarily have the ability to give that to a play partner.
Right.
And I think he needs that. And that's totally okay.
Yeah, he might.
Everyone needs what they need. But my concern would be, I don't ever want to make anyone feel as if I'm there having sex with them and then I leave and then they are left not getting what it is they need.
Well, I mean, it goes back to that aftercare idea. Right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, reconnection, you know, that's a big deal. If he's feeling unfulfilled because once it's over, you're gone, you know, the person is gone. He's now left alone with these feelings and emotions. You know, that's something that needs to be considered, that's a consideration for him. And certainly if that's something that he's going to need going forward, you know, then maybe you're not the right partner for him. And that's something that we need to talk about.
Yeah, I think he is definitely, I mean, we talked the second time a little bit about how he's, you know, looking for another romantic connection,
yeah,
and he really wants to find the right person for himself and everything. And I think once again, back to Derek, and he was in that same situation of like, I haven't been able to find anyone. I want to be able to give myself to somebody, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But I can't provide any of that. I can't,
right,
provide an ounce of that,
right,
because all of that from me is given to you.
Right.
And I want to keep it that way. We're not a poly couple. I'm not looking for a, right, boyfriend, and I can't give that to somebody.
Right. And we've talked about that before. The polyamorous relationship as it's defined doesn't really work for us.
No.
You know, that kind of, you know, that relationship lends itself to people being, you know, mutually, you know, emotional, connected with each other. Someone with us, that third person with us is going to be a secondary person. They're not going to get the same fulfillment that you and I get from each other.
Right.
So that's we've decided that that's unfair for the most part for us, and we don't want to treat people that way. We're just not going to play in that world. So if that's something that he needs, genuinely needs that from a partner, from a sexual partner, he has to have some of that intimacy afterwards. Then you just may not be the right person for him. So we have to have that conversation.
We need to have that discussion, yeah. And I mean, of course, we want to be friends with people. I always,
yeah,
sit and talk to people after we have sex, and that's great. Like, I love being able to either talk about what just happened, and then if there's things that need to be tweaked or talked about for next time, like, that's,
right,
super fun. Or if, you know, we're just catching up of like, oh, what does your week look like? Totally.
Right.
I mean, that friendly connection's great. But in terms of sitting and touching and caressing and kissing,
it's different.
It's a level of intimacy that I don't have in me for anyone but you.
Right.
So that conversation needs to happen. I, once again, spoiler alert, as we've said, there is a second interaction with this guy to talk about. And the second interaction really reinforces that idea,
yeah,
that he's looking for something a little bit more advanced. So we'll talk about that. The second interaction was hot as fuck.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to talk about the sexual component of it. But there's a lot more emotional baggage isn't the right word. I don't want to use that word. There's a lot more emotional.
Well, there's an emotional requirement, I think, that he has.
Well, and just other things that he has going on in his life that speak to who he is as a play partner that may not be in alignment with what I can provide.
Right. And if that's the case, then it's only fair that, you know, we make that adjustment. We let him know that you're probably not the right person for him. And I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier when we were talking about our interaction with a single female. Whether it's a single female or a single male, we don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. We certainly don't want them to be unfulfilled.
Right.
Particularly if it's an emotional commitment of some kind that they need. And, you know, so if this single guy isn't right fit, then we'll let him know that. Just like if it's a single gal, we'll let her know that.
Or a couple. You know, yeah. A couple. I mean, it has to be mutually beneficial no matter who is involved with it.
Yeah, absolutely. We've played with couples where, you know, we've had a conversation about it's not, you know, emotionally or physically is not the right fit after we've had that interaction, and single people are no different. You know, yeah. You've got to make those concessions for people.
Well, it's just like when you're dating as a single person, are you going to hit it out of the park and find exactly what you're looking like with every single person you date or looking for with every person you date? No, of course not. That's completely unrealistic.
Right.
Same thing in this interaction. It's no different. The only difference is that with sexual play partners, it's more about what it is you can provide for them sexually. And if they need anything additional to that, you have to, you know, negotiate that.
Yeah. And if it's a situation where he's, you know, not, if emotionally or mentally he's not able to separate those things, you know, separate the sexual component from the intimacy component. No, absolutely not. If he's one of those folks that can't do that, then this is probably not the right situation for him. And certainly we'll have that conversation and let him know that. And of course he has to make that decision for himself, but at the same time, you have to be comfortable in that. You're not, you know, you don't want to make him feel bad. You don't want to, you know, devalue his self-worth by simply going, having sex, and you're getting up and leaving, and then leaving him feeling empty.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to do that.
God, so, no, I never want to do that to
somebody. That's a conversation I think has to be had based on your last interaction, which, like you said, was super fucking hot, but still lent itself to you thinking, you know, you came home, you're like, huh, don't know about this.
Yeah.
There's something that's not quite right.
Yeah.
You know,
once again, yet another learning lesson with the single guys.
This, like you said, sex was great. You had a great time.
We talk about labeling people. I think that single guys get this rep of like, oh, all they want is sex and they don't give a shit about anything else. Yeah. And I think that this guy really is proof that you can't just group all of them together. It's not every single guy doesn't need the exact same thing.
No, there are no two people that need identical. I need what they, you know, aren't looking for the same thing all the time. That's not possible. And to say that all single guys are kind of lumped together is that's also inappropriate. It's not accurate.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who is sexually you're compatible with, but he has this emotional need or a need for intimacy that is simply, you know, is not available with you.
Right.
You know, so it's just something we got to talk about.
Yeah. So we'll definitely talk about the second sexy interaction with him and delve a little bit more into detail on where we're at with him on a friendly basis, not just sexual. We're also supposed to meet a new single guy today.
We are. Yeah, we absolutely are. That I'm back among the living, I think we'll be able to get out of the house.
Hopefully. We met him at the fetish ball, and we should say he is Dom with a capital D.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to work with me and you.
Well, we did meet, you interacted with him before. We actually just happened to be going to the fetish ball as he was, and we met him face to face for the first time there. But yeah, I don't you know, that's a different component. We haven't run into that situation yet,
because I think the majority of his play partners are his subs,
right?
And they very much interact with him in that way,
right?
And once again, I can't provide that to him,
right?
Like, I can't have a 24/7 interaction, so it'll be really interesting to sit down and discuss what that may look like with him.
Yeah, I mean, that's really I think I'm most interested in that portion of the conversation.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that. That should be good kind of no matter what. We'll
see regardless.
Whether that road takes us.
Yeah, that may be a whole episode or not, but we'll let you know how that works out. We'll figure that out.
I think that's all we have for this week. So
that's it. Yeah, looking forward to the, we've got an interview coming up that we're going to be putting out.
Yeah.
We had an interview with a great couple. We'll do that one soon. And a whole lot more fun stuff.
Slutty shit as per usual.
Lots of sluttiness coming about for sure.
All right. Thanks so much for listening, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
If you're anything like us, when we first started swinging, we really had no idea where to begin. And it can be really intimidating. And we have a great recommendation for you, which is to join Cassidy.com. Cassidy is a huge online platform that includes so many sexy swingers in your area, plus lots of local events to keep you up to date on all things lifestyle. And if you join Cassidy, you can find our community, Front Porch Swingers, and keep up with everything we are doing as well. So make sure you check out Cassidy.com today.